Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
We've been studying about the outcry of the poor from Nehemiah chapter 5. And we have learned so many things. What should be the right attitude? We've learned about the benefits. And tonight we want to study the early church that remains a model for us to learn from. How did they handle their welfare issue in the church? And what lessons can we learn?
Acts chapter 4, verse 32 to 37.
All
the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possession was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all, that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyrus, whom the apostle called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet.
Thank you. The early church remains a great source of inspiration and challenge to the present day and future generation churches. A great example in missions and evangelism, prayers, discipleship, conflict management, care, etc. remain exceptional. The statement, "there were no needy persons among them," seems like an exaggeration. How possible is this in a church of about 5,000 men? What is the secret of this type of church? What is the problem with the present day church? And what are the things we need to learn to become what God wants us to be as a local church? Those are the things we want to bring out from verse 32 to verse 37 tonight. It's amazing that this church has shown in verse 4. Let's look at verse 4 of our text to see the numerical strength of this church. Verse 4 shows us their numerical strength. Can we read it together? Acts of the Apostles, not Numbers. Can we read it together? That's a mega church. And if you read it from other translation, it says about 5,000 men without counting the women and the children. So, like, how many do you think this church will be? About 5,000 men, excluding women and children. If you have to count the women and the children, we'll be having roughly what? Some say 15, some say 20. That's a large church, isn't it? But they had a good welfare program. Ikoyi is still not up to 2,000. Isn't it? But we need to learn from them. And I want to trust God that tonight's study, we are not just going to learn in our head. We are going to make it practical. And I trust that after now, we're going to take far-reaching decisions. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What's the first thing we see in verse 32? I see a church that had correct church membership. Correct what? All the believers. This church was not a church of mixed multitude. Praise the Lord. It was a church made up of which people? Made up of which people? Believers. Not a church of believers and unbelievers. It's not a church of regenerate and unregenerate combined together. I know this is what, where we were in April. When we began to ask everybody to do what? To share their what? Salvation experience. And sincerely speaking, no church can go far until you solve the problem of unregenerate church membership. You are going nowhere. The reason why the Israelites couldn't go far in their journey most of the time was because there was a group called the mixed multitude that followed them when they left Egypt. So anytime God did not show up, they are the ones complaining. They are the ones grumbling. And they will indirectly bring problems to the people of God. Here the Bible says, all the believers. Can I ask you again tonight, are you born again? Are you a child of God? If you are not born again, sincerely speaking, I put it to you, you are a problem to us in this church. The church is not meant for the unregenerate. It's meant for believers. If you are not born again, you have no business in the church. Somebody say, Adeleke is driving them away again. That is the truth of the gospel. And I have no apology for that. Because if you don't repent, you'll be a problem to us. When we are saying, let's go forward, what are you doing? You know why? Light and darkness cannot work together. An unbeliever is not just living in darkness. He is what? Is darkness himself. It won't work. The major problem of the present day church is because we are seeker friendly. I don't know whether you have heard that term. Seeker friendly churches. Everybody come. It doesn't matter. That is not the early church. In fact, the Bible will tell you that people are afraid to do what? To join them. But today, anything goes. All the believers, they were all believers. The early church will not compromise. And until we deal with this matter, until we deal with it, Ikoyi Baptist Church, I'm telling you, we are still going to be having issues. I remember in February I met, somebody said, how can you be asking us to share our salvation experience? It is personal. Once you enter this church, you have lost everything personal. It is not a collective life. I know some thought they escaped it. Some thought they escaped that process. You can't escape it. We have record. And we are giving 1 whole year for everybody to regularize that matter. It's a compulsory course. Praise the Lord. Help me touch your neighbor. Say, have you done it? Ask your neighbor and get an answer. Have you done it or you escape? Ask your neighbor, did you escape? Every other thing we are going to be talking about tonight about this church, this is where it starts from. Are you hearing me? Once you get it around at the foundation, see, I'm seeing builders here. There are so many of us who are building. What is the most important part of a building? What is the most important part? Once you compromise the foundation, you have compromised the building. It's a matter of time. At least, I don't know too many things, but this one, I know it. That once a church gets it right with respect to its foundation, God will use that church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All the believers, we are one in heart and mind. How does that sound to you? A church of over 10,000. They were what? One heart, one mind. You know the root of that is they were believers. Regenerated heart. They were all circumcised. They were all born again. So the first thing we see about this church is that it had correct church membership. Hopefully next week, we'll be sharing again from the Old Testament and see from the Old Testament perspective what we are dealing with. Like I said, it's not a church of mixed multitude. Every other thing this church became and was able to accomplish emerged from this solid foundation. We can't go too far as a local church until we get our membership right. This will require the understanding and cooperation of all of us. Number two, still in that same verse, is Christian unity. One in heart and mind. Christian unity. Number three, they had correct orientation and understanding of divine ownership of life and resources. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. Excuse me, what does it mean? What does this mean? When the Bible said that no one, What does it mean? Yes, ma'am. They didn't give us microphone this evening, so.
Oh. It means they all shared of each other's belonging. No one kept what he had. If I had one, I shared with you. Whatever you have, you shared with me. We all tasted what belonged to one another.
Hallelujah. Let's talk more about this. Give us message translation. Can we read it together? Was united as one. One mind. No one said, "That's mine. You can't have it." Ah, this church is challenging us. That's mine. You can't touch it. Excuse me, what does this verse mean?
It means that what I have is for everybody, not only for me alone.
But it's is that so in today's church?
By the Holy Spirit, it can happen.
And by the Holy Spirit, it can happen. But now, Uncle?
It happens.
Is it happening now?
Yes, I believe.
Amen. You know what it means? That after service now, I can just go straight to the garage. You know, I've not finished talking. You're already laughing. I go straight to the garage and I just go to a car. And I say, "Where is the key? Sir?" He said, "That's mine." Say, "Pastor, it's like you're not seeing where tonight. You need glasses. That's mine. You can't touch it." Deacon Robert. In fact, you're welcome. Praise the Lord. Can you? I don't know whether you understand what you are talking about tonight. These people, they had a correct orientation and understanding about divine what? Ownership. That all that they have, first of all, belongs to who? Belongs to God. And they are meant to do what? To share it. How do you behave when you are eating and you heard a knock on the door? And you know it's your regular customer. The Bible said no one, not even one. That means you can come to church and someone say, "Brother, I like this your shoe." In that church. And you are willing to do what? To give. You are not holding to anything so tight that you cannot do what? You cannot give it out. The house you own, you only see yourself as what? As a caretaker, holding it for God. You are ready to do what? To share. You finish building and you come to church and say, "Brethren, I've completed my house. Are there brethren looking for accommodation?" And you share the flats to them. That's the early church. In the early church, I'm sure you know here that somebody has accommodation problem. You not hear that somebody had transportation problem? This church is a modern church. But where is the foundation? Regeneration. It takes a heart that has been conquered by Christ to live like this. When Christ has not conquered your heart, you are not born again, you are still far away from the commonwealth of Israel, you think that life is meant to be grab, 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 grab. This church is a church with a difference. I'm sure all of us would like to be a member of this type of church. If some of us should join this church, you will spoil it. Christian unity, correct orientation and understanding of divine ownership of life and resources. Commitment to sharing. And that's what you see in that same verse. Can we read the last sentence? They share. Let's read it again. Can we say it one more time? Are we sharing everything? What is everything? Excuse me, I say, what is everything? Ah, God have mercy on us. They shared everything. You've gone to the market and just finished cooking that soup before you come to church this evening. Even though this one I'm talking about, you just say, Pastor, finish. I need to go home and tea with that soup. You know, as you are coming to church this evening, you take a portion of that soup and bring it to church. And said an announcement, say, Pastor, let me announce, if somebody needs soup here, I've just finished cooking this powerful soup. Do you think somebody will be in church tonight who needs soup? Do you think so? When I was off fellowship on campus, I used to cook. Thank God for marriage that delivered us. So, some house fellowship days, I will just cook and package it. By the time we are sharing the grace, I will say, I've cooked this super food tonight. Is anybody hungry here? And before you know it, I will see not less than 3 hands that needed food. They shared some of their things. They shared how many things? Everything. They shared everything. They shared everything. Look at verse 33. The apostles gave powerful witness to the resurrection of the Master Jesus. And grace was on all of them. An atmosphere for the supernatural was created because of this. You know why God most of the time will not move mightily in our midst? is because you are all right. There are others still struggling in the church and they are crying to God. And God is saying, I've told Janet to come and bless you. But Janet is still what? Hardening his heart. He has Aradite heart and Aradite hand. Oh Lord, come down and manifest your power. That's our song, isn't it? Have you ever seen God coming down? I'm asking us, have you ever seen God? Since the day we have been singing that song, God came down. How does it come down? How does it come down? Through you and I. But when God moves your heart to do something, sometimes you commonalize it. God said, go and visit so and so. God said, okay, pack this food stuff and go and give to brother so and so. And the outcry of that person is going to God. And it's now restraining the hand of God from moving mightily in our midst, as you would have loved to do. Atmosphere for the supernatural. In verse 34b, we see the liberality of those who are blessed. Verse 34b. They are what? Please read it again now. So tonight, are there needy people amongst us? Yes or no? So why? Why? Start booking. Why? We are not sharing everything. We're not sharing everything. We share some things. Not everything. How can the Bible say no needy persons among them? A church of more than 10,000. No need, not even one. May God help us tonight to attain to this standard. And it is possible. It is what? It's possible. So we see the Bible says from time to time, those who own lands or houses did what? Sold them, brought the money from the sales. Oh, somebody said, Pastor, don't go to that. Make I sell my land? Sell my land, sell my house. Come bring money to church. When I was sweating, suffering to buy the land, if you know what the Omonilas did, before I perfected the land, so make I come sell and bring money to church. Fa, 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 fa. I can give every other thing, not my land. Can you hear me touch your neighbor? If you have a neighbor, say, be like, say, God, they talk to you tonight. Ask your neighbor, what is God saying? Let me ask your neighbor, you get land. Ask your neighbor, you get land. Bro, you get land. Wow. This church is posing a great challenge to this present day church. They will sell and bring the proceed to the church. Let's see the seventh point I have here. We see the apostles' integrity. Verse 35. After selling the land, they bring the money to and put it where? This is where the problem of today's church again is. Somebody don't sell land, sell house, bring money, come put them for apostle feet. Excuse me. So what we are supposed to do? Rocky, he said, apostle is wise. So those who sold the land and houses, they were not wise. They are mumu. Did you hear what he said? The apostle is wise. Those who sold the land and the houses, they are what? One translation said they lay it at the apostles' feet. And the apostles were men of integrity. Instead of misappropriating or diverting that to their own personal use, what did they do? They distributed it. The welfare ministry of the church was first of all under the control of the apostles until Acts chapter 6. Are you following? By Acts chapter 6, it became too large for them to manage. And that's what now led to the election of what? Of deacons. The early church will not close their eyes to the issue of welfare in the church. They will pray, they will preach, but when it comes to the welfare needs of the congregation, they will not close their eyes. They were administering it with integrity. For as long as they were doing this, nobody could accuse Peter that he diverted it to give to his mother-in-law. Or John, they had integrity. For the sake of those who are here that God will call to ministry tomorrow, can I challenge you under God to be a man of integrity? Let it not be that you sit on the offering of the church and you think, yes, that you have arrived. As you are moving from Rome, you are going to Casablanca, doing all kinds of things around with the money of God's church. You won't last though. People that do that don't last. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They distributed to anyone as he had need. The last point I want to mention before I give room for contributions is that God jealously preserved this church from being corrupted. As you move to chapter 5, Mr. and Mrs. Ananias said, we too will go and sell our own land. So they sold the land. I guess as Ananias came back home with the money and said, Safi, Safi. See, I've sold the land. See the money. Sister Safi looked at the money and said, this money plenty. I will carry all this, go church. It's a year of supernatural help. And Pastor talked about grace of completion the other day. We never complete our project for village. Let's just share it. Take this to church. God understand. So they came to church Sunday morning. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost Koboko. I thought he was just going to be whipped. But on the spot, she died. The husband died. If this kind of thing should happen, let me not say Kuyi Baptist Church. Another church. Will you go there next Sunday? Will you go? If I tell you to go, what will you do? You will confess your sins. How many times? Before you enter that church. Excuse me, today's church, is it like this? Somebody is just coming from Britain. Is coming to church. Putting hand inside offering plate. May the Lord restore his glory. We read Matthew chapter 25 last week, and there are 6 ministries that every local church, every family, every individual needs to give serious attention. Number 1, feeding the hungry. Jesus said, I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. Our local church needs to do something about our food pantry. That every day of the week, there's a food pantry operating in the church here that anybody can come to and collect food. It must not be a Wednesday thing, it must not be a Sunday thing. On a daily basis, let there be a food pantry. In your house, let there be a food pantry where you give to the needy on a regular basis. They are around you in your neighborhood. as you are shopping for the month, take into consideration those who cannot feed. Apart from having food, I long for a season, a time when, as a church, even if it is lunch, we can provide on a daily basis to feeding the hungry. I know denominations that are doing this. I know churches that are doing this. We are not talking about feeding ourselves now. Feeding the hungry. Providing water for the thirsty. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. How can we provide water? Some of us may be doing it already in your homes, in your neighborhood, where you are the only one who has borehole around. Give people water. Give them what? And on the last day, Jesus will say to you, I was thirsty. And you gave me what? Number three, ministry, shelter for the homeless. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Ikoyi Baptist Church can provide shelter for the homeless. And if there's anybody here, you have a house that you are not using that you want to give to the church, we take it from you to taking care of the homeless. When we are talking about the homeless, some of us may be thinking about those who are urban in the bridge alone. No. Even amongst us here, you'll be surprised at where some of your brothers are living. You'll be surprised. There are some here, when we close this meeting tonight, sincerely speaking, it's like where they are going is just that there's no other choice. I spoke with a young man a few days ago who told me where he's sleeping, a member of this church. And I said, Kai, this is serious. Where he sleeps, once the owner of the shop closes for work at the end of the day, he takes over the frontage. And that's where he sleeps. You know, one of the reasons why we don't even know ourselves well is because we are poor in visitation. You visit and you see where some of our brethren are, and you see the same Ikoyi Baptist Church. Shelter for the homeless. I know we have this arrangement where we give people money to parents, not to parents, to assist. And that assistance, sincerely speaking, for me, I don't think it goes really well to help. We need to think beyond that. If the message God is sending to us, we will not be guilty of it at the end of the day. Clothes pantry. I needed clothes and you clothed me. We can have the same in the church. The seminary I attended in the U.S., every month a particular church comes to the church, to the school, to bring food, bring clothes, bring shoes to what we call the pantry. So students who don't have support from nowhere, every month they are sure of getting enough resources that will last them for a whole month. You don't have exercise books, you don't have pen, you know, all the basic things you need as a student. Antioch Bible Church brings it. You need clothes, need all that is adequately provided. We can have a clothes pantry. There are some of us here, there are some clothes in your wardrobe for the past 1 year. They are only admiring you and you are admiring them. You don't need it. How many shoes are you wearing now? Let me ask, how many shoes are you wearing? Eh? If you decide to wear two, say, this shoe is my home. I'm wearing two to church today. If you wear two shoes to church, excuse me. You decide to wear two. Eh? You may not decide to wear the two together. You are wearing one and you are holding the other two in the hand. Says my shoe. I must wear this shoe. They will say no to pastor. Say, pastor, please. We have emergency. The person done the... So the one you are not wearing now that is in the house, you don't need it. Pack all of them and come and hand them over. Where is Dickness now? Is Dickness robot around? Is Dickness robot? Dickness, let them see you so that they see the person they will hand it over to. That's Dickness robot. So all those clothes you are not using, fine ones you have kept in the wardrobe for how long? Shoes. Pack them very well. Bring them. Some of us here, you have 2 cars, 3 cars. How many do you ride to church? And there are some bro here. Sir, you are still praying to God. Generally, their prayer point is, Lord, it's a year of supernatural help. Give me my own car. Give me my own car. And God is telling you, give this car out. You say, no. I cannot pay. I will use this one on Sunday. This one on Wednesday. This one when I'm going for special occasion. I will knock it. May God deliver us from foolishness. I know a brother, stinkingly rich, who died last year. Just all of a sudden in the midnight, heart attack. And before you know, he was gone. He had fleet of cars in his compound. You know when they were to carry him to mortuary? You know what they used to carry him? One of these ambulance that if dead body can talk. I said, what do you call, is it G-Wagon you call down? There's one they call G-Wagon. The man had G-Wagon. He had Lexus. He had all kinds. And they had to carry his dead body to the mortuary. They did not even say, for the last time. Let him enjoy his G-Wagon. I went, I saw the ambulance. I said, oh my God. Hi. I hope you will look for inside church tonight. If you have 3 cars, 4 cars. Eh? You say what? You say, Pastor, what did I do? We have three cars. Oga de church. Thus, there were no needy persons amongst them. So you look at the church and see brethren in church who are committed, who are still using foot run. And give them the car. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What led us to the discussion tonight is Nehemiah chapter 5. The outcry of the poor. That the poor were crying out to God. Hospital visitation. I was sick and you looked after me. Thank God we have hospital visitation ministry in the church. May the Lord help us to keep it strong. Prison visitation. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Thank God also for our prison ministry. So out of our 16 that Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 25, we are effectively practicing the last two. But we need to work seriously on 1, 2, 3, 4. You can also do this at the personal level, at the family level. May the Lord help us. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5 to 7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org.